Paul Chambers and his quintet with I Heard That from his 1959 album, Go. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and a program I hope you will find informative and raising some questions in your mind. We start our program today recognizing Senator McCain, John McCain of Arizona, who, after a day after his family announced that there will be no further continuation of treatment for his brain cancer, died on Saturday. And the nation mourns. The nation mourns this man, who had been through several trials and tribulations in his life in behalf of the country. He was considered the epitome of a good soldier and a selfless good soldier. He is going to be lying in state at both the Arizona and US Capitols. Both Presidents Obama and George W. Bush will deliver eulogies at his funeral, and he'll be buried in Annapolis, Maryland, on the grounds of the US Naval Academy next Sunday. A sad note here, and that refers to the conduct of the President of the United States, who, as Commander in Chief, who did not, in fact, made it a point not to serve in the armed forces of this country, was so graceless and small and vindictive in rescinding a statement from the White House that had been crafted to extol the virtues of Senator McCain, and he nixed it. How sad that our president is such a small, vindictive, graceless man. But we start our program today with a subject that is long overdue. President Donald Trump and many of his chief aides, advisors, and cohorts have reason to worry. Trump's former campaign manager, not manager, but chairman, sorry, Paul Manafort, last Tuesday was found guilty of bank fraud and tax fraud and hiding overseas bank accounts. He faces a second trial next month. Also last Tuesday, Trump's former personal lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, in a plea agreement, admitted to campaign finance violations and bank and tax fraud. The Manafort and Cohen charges grew out of a broader federal investigation into possible Russian interference in U.S. elections in 2016. Curiously, while Special Counsel Robert Mueller's in a Russian interference probe proceeds apace, the federal probe into Hillary Clinton's contentious and ethically challenged tenure in the office as Secretary of State has gone dormant, it seems. Why? That's what we're trying to answer today. And we have two extraordinary guides with us, so we will get an understanding in this program today about that question. We start with Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of several books and authoritative articles on politics and deep state issues. He covers, from his perspective, and I have to say something here. He has written mostly in non-mainstream media. And he has been responsible for generating a great deal of interest in questions that are so blatant, but are so blatantly avoided. And we have to always recognize that in the search for truth, we have people operating not in the mainstream media exclusively, but very often what we come to know as the truth, what we get to know as the truth, comes as a result of dogged journalism by people working outside, decidedly outside the mainstream, and Dr. Corsi is one of them. Thank you, Dr. Corsi, for being with us today.
My pleasure, thank you.
Well, let's start with this question of why. Why does it appear that at one point Hillary Clinton was the target of prosecution on the matter of emails and the conduct, her conduct as Secretary of State, deals that were done that had a great stench to them, the use of a secret server in the basement of her home, and other people who seemed to form a kind of club where they did all these unorthodox and unauthorized things. It looked for a minute there that she was sure to come under not just investigation, but indictment.
Well, I think the simplest answer to that is that, what we've learned in the congressional hearings is that we developed especially under President Obama, a very politicized and weaponized justice system. And from the testimony of people like Peter Strzok, however you say his last name, and others, we now know that there was a decided hate Trump bias among those who were conducting the investigations during the 2016 campaign and before, so that Hillary was going to get a pass. And this unequal justice, I think, is one of the points that continues to divide America, where you see it in any number of instances, including now the social media censoring of conservatives, libertarians, and those who are strong in the Judeo-Christian tradition. I mean, hate white is given a complete pass by these social media organizations. So the double standard in politics is what I think has divided America, and I think it continues to divide America. I don't see any real chance here that it's going to get much better in the near future.
But at the same time, we did see something that looked like the beginning of a serious investigation. The FBI, the Justice Department, it appeared that they were going ahead with an investigation. Are you aware of any reason why it seems to have stopped?
Well, I think the key word there is appear, and the appearance was certainly there. But I mean, I can give you any number of instances, including what has recently surfaced, and that is with the this Weiner laptop. There was no serious effort to examine the emails in that laptop at the end of the 2016 campaign. It was all delayed and pushed back into the category of never going to be looked at. And that's the treatment Hillary Clinton has gotten from the Justice Department, the FBI, consistently. And the Clintons have gotten this kind of pass going back throughout their career. And this, is a double standard. And the double standard is, I think, offensive to many of us who do support Donald Trump and who have opposed Hillary Clinton and feel that Donald Trump is not being treated fairly, that these investigations do not have to do with Russian and collusion. And I'd like to see the same standard applied to Tony Podesta with regards to his tax filings in the work he did alongside Paul Manafort in Ukraine. And yet his case is referred to the Tony Podesta's case to the Southern District of New York, where my prediction is it will languish and nothing will ever emerge from it. And Paul Manafort is in solitary confinement, having been found guilty on, you know, a few technical violations, not filing tax forms, etc. It was not a tax evasion case. He was not charged with tax evasion. These kinds of nuances, to me, reflect prosecutorial bias from a team of prosecutors working for Mueller, who have a long history of hate Trump politics.
Well, this isn't the work of, you know, low-lying operatives within these departments. We have clear evidence that James Comey, the former head of the FBI, actually lied, straight out lied, about the content of emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop, the Anthony Weiner being the husband of Huma Abedin. And of course, he was convicted of sexual improprieties. But we're talking here not about one or two or 12 emails. We're talking in excess of 600,000 emails. And Comey lied about examining these emails on the server. He just lied straight up about it. And he has paid there's been no penalty against him for that. And he was head of the FBI. I can't imagine anything more outrageous than that. He said that they scrutinized all of the emails and found nothing to be alarmed about, when in fact they didn't. So we still don't know what is to be found on the server that still has not been located, as far as I know, the materials on the server not located, and life is just going on nice and swimmingly. So what has happened? In your view, is this thing just dead, or is it waiting on a particular thing to become, to spark new life into this, or is it in fact ongoing, but we just don't know?
I think that there's no ongoing investigations of the Democrats, as far as I can tell. And the Department of Justice remains in the hands of deep state operatives who are deeply committed to Hillary Clinton and leftist politics. I do think there will be a change. I don't expect that Jeff Sessions will be allowed to remain as head of as Attorney General and head of the Department of Justice after the midterm elections. And I anticipate the Democrats are going to do rather poorly in the midterm elections. Despite all this talk of a blue wave, I don't think it's going to happen. And the anticipation by the Democrats that they'll have control of the House and be able to ramp up investigations against Donald Trump, I think is going to be sadly, for them, not fulfilled. So I think we're really at the end of the period of time where these deep state operatives are pursuing charges against Republicans while at the same time ignoring many issues that could be investigated of the Democrats, including many that are similar, almost identical in nature. And I'm pointing there to this Tony Podesta case. The prosecutions that have occurred have none of them had to do with Russian collusion, and that should be enough right there to dismiss Mueller as having failed in his mission.
But in a way, is this a case of, I mean, this is politics, this is how it works sometimes, where people who get into positions of power, then, they seek to turn tables against the people who had kept them out or who were viewed as keeping them out of the political realm. And now, having achieved that, it's a matter of retribution. Isn't that part of what is going on here as well?
in the history of American politics, the criminalization of opposing parties has been avoided through decades of experience, going back to instances where even Richard Nixon suspected that Jack Kennedy may have stolen the election in 1960, but did not call for recounts in Illinois, did not contest it. Any number of issues that have come up in American politics going back decades, you know, when the special prosecutors get involved, we're in the process of criminalizing politics. And if we do that, then, you know, the Democrats who might be rejoicing at Paul Manafort's conviction, you know, are going to be sadly dismayed when the tables are turned and Republicans in charge of the Department of Justice, as you say, demand retribution and then prosecute a whole series of very high officials within the Democratic Party. Should it just be politics, you know, Democrats are going to squeal and so will the mainstream media if Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are seriously investigated on treason charges. And in the Spygate, which is just only developing, I think there's going to be some shocking revelations to the American people about the extent to which our Department of Justice, our FBI, our CIA, the National Security Agency, were all politicized and weaponized in the attempt to make sure that Donald Trump never was president, or that if he was president, he could be impeached.
From your vantage point as an investigator and also as a conservative, what would you say is the most deleterious thing that has happened to this notion of democracy in this country, using the Clinton debacle as an example?
Well, I mean, I think the Clintons were the beginning of this political correctness, which has infected the Democratic Party to where the intolerance of opposing points of view is today reflected in the censorship that's going on in the social media, including Facebook, Google, YouTube, etc. And the idea of the First Amendment that we were going to tolerate and required to tolerate even views we don't like or find abhorrent, but still we're not outside the bounds of preaching violence or incurring violence. All kinds of distasteful speech was envisioned to be protected under the First Amendment. And now when you have hate crimes and Hillary Clinton designating a whole series of what she thinks are deplorables, we're right on the edge of having the Democratic Party move in an intolerant, I think almost socialist direction. I actually think the Democratic Party has become a communist party. And its intolerant views of opposition arguments reminds me of the Maoist cultural revolutions that occurred in communist China in the 60s and 70s.
Right now, what should concern us as a nation about this investigation that was started into the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and even before that, what should concern us about this investigation, how it has been managed or mismanaged, and why we are getting a sense, just looking from the outside in, we're looking at something that appears to have clearly political undertones, where she is to be protected. The Clintons are to be protected. Nothing is supposed to happen to them. They can do practically anything and get away with it, and even commit gross crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors. What are people supposed to think about a justice system that allows this to happen?
Well, it's one of the reasons I think the Democrats are going to lose so badly in the midterm, is I think the American people are seeing now rather clearly the politicalization and weaponization of not just the IRS, but the FBI, the Department of Justice, etc. So that if you're a conservative or a libertarian, or you want to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to be scorned and to the point of being not only ridiculed, but banned from public discourse by the intolerant left. And, you know, this is going to extend the banning on they've gone on social media, if not stopped. And I think the American people will demand a Bill of Rights for the Internet that includes the First Amendment. And otherwise, you know, step by step, all the ideological certainties of the hard left, whether or not proved, you know, climate deniers will be banned because ideologically they're inappropriate, even if their arguments have, I think, scientific bases behind them to be examined seriously. Similarly, you're going to have, take Hillary's list of deplorables, anyone considered racist, and that's just about anybody that opposes the Democratic agenda of social welfare and move towards socialism, or the xenophobes or the Islamophobes or any of the other topics that we're not allowed to discuss. This is the first time in American history that I've seen the political correctness extend to giving immunity to those who adhere to the tenets of political correctness. You can say vile things against whites. You can launch threats against the president. Won't get you thrown off Twitter. But you know, the slightest criticism that suggests disagreement with this hard left ideological agenda, and you're not allowed to participate in the social media discourse. And that's just not for social media companies that started out saying they were going to give a forum to democracy. Democracy is not tidy. Democracy is not politically correct. Democracy has all the views possible being expressed in a debate where the best ideas are supposed to surface. And if that's not possible, then we're headed towards a Maoist cultural revolution with all of its disastrous effects.
But isn't there some measure of blame to be affixed to the right and the hard right for refusing to be rational in their discussions about politics and our society?
You're now amusing me, because always the left wants to say we're not rational. We're not, you know, you're amusing me. This is an LOL moment. I'm sorry. Do you have another question?
But, you know, talking in a way that says we're not interested in engaging. We're interested in you understanding what we think you ought to do and what
Who's
we
that?
Think you ought
the
to
left,
be.
The left says that all the time. I mean, take climate change. Okay, take climate change. I'd like to look at the scientific data, including the data that was altered out of the, we found in that UN British computer, including all the scientists who disclaim the global warming or the change in the dialogue from global warming to climate change. The Russians insist that the Earth is cooling because the sunspot activity has diminished. We might enter into a little ice age, like was feared in the 70s by the hard left, before they decided it was no longer global warming we should be afraid of. It was global warming that we should be afraid of. I'd like to debate all those issues and at the same time not be called a climate denier.
Well, let's get back to the Clinton matter. You have investigated a great deal about the Clintons. Where do you think an investigation, or the investigation that allegedly has begun, where should it go now?
Well, there's any number of points. I mean, first of all, the Clinton Foundation is obviously a criminal scam. I mean, it is not a foundation. The financials have been fraudulently filed from the beginning. The expenditures for charity are minimal compared to the expenditures for staff and, you know, luxury accommodations and all the overhead. It's not a foundation. And the accounting has been riddled with inconsistencies and cover-ups from day one. And that would take a minimal investigation to expose, because it's so outrageous the way that foundation has been run. Secondly, any serious examination of Hillary Clinton's email server would indicate that the extreme carelessness itself was a crime, and should anyone ever be allowed to look at the Wiener laptop, which has some 600,000 emails on it, with Huma Abedin sending State Department emails, including classified emails, to her Yahoo.com account. I mean, the list goes on of obvious offenses for which many have been convicted for doing far less. And on both the foundation and the handling of the emails in the State Department, classified information, I think there are serious felonies that ought to be investigated for the Clintons, going back to the creation of the foundation and to 2009 when Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State.
We are joined now by a familiar voice on this program, that of Charles Ortel, the anti-charity fraud crusader who has been studying and investigating the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, as it is formally called, for several years, and reporting his findings here on this program. Charles, thank you for being with us, and us being me and Dr. Jerome Corsi.
Well, thanks so much for including me in the debate, and thank you, Jerry, for in the very beginning encouraging me to launch this investigation, which I did launch starting around February of 2015.
What do you make of the fact that it appears that the investigation that was supposed to be so vigorously pursued into the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons themselves seems to have just petered out?
Well, it's tough to read. On the one hand, you could say it's distressing. Maybe the deep state is just so rooted into the apparatus of justice and the IRS that, you know, no one could ever hope to vanquish them. But on the other hand, you could conclude that grand juries may well have been impaneled. Unlike the Mueller investigation, which leaks like a sieve, we can hope that the Clinton Foundation investigation is tied as a drum and there isn't stuff leaking out of the grand jury. When you look at the available information that's already in the public domain, and congratulations to the folks who run the FBI vault, they have put up mountains of evidence about the Clinton Foundation and under William J. Clinton. You search on the FBI vault, you'll get three multi-thousand page dumps in total that shows that there was an actual FBI investigation from 2001 to 2005 that was stymied. Then you look at, Jerry was talking about the email investigation. There's a 24-part dump that is almost, I think, the original amount is might be 10,000 pages or so, heavily redacted, 24 parts, but enough information to see that that the FBI, the line people in the FBI were going hell-bent for leather into the mishandling of classified information. They had discovered massive mishandling of classified information as early as July 2015. It was confirmed in subsequent reports. There was a high-level State Department person who sent a letter to James Comey. That's in the 24th dump. And we don't know the person's name yet, but that person sends a letter, a detailed letter to James Comey saying, listen, I have evidence personal knowledge of Hillary Clinton's committing serious crimes, mishandling classified information, and I also have evidence of obstruction where people were being encouraged not to follow the Constitution but to follow the wishes and dictates of President Obama. So also recently, in the last several weeks, the FBI has released on the vault the manual that is supposed to be used for investigations. And when you look at what that manual says you're supposed to do and contrast what actually happened, what we know from these other dumps, you see that Comey and others gave the Clintons kid glove treatment and fully expected that Hillary would be the next president of the United States. They had impure motives. They probably did all of this as a guess because they expected to remain in power and then have the ultimate leverage against the president of the United States. So, you know, this is a very, I think Jerry has characterized it as one of the biggest, if not the biggest, political scandals in American history. And there are a lot of people who stand to be exposed here. And so they're fighting tooth and nail against getting exposed, because when the American public figures out what truly happened, not what was in that silly book of Hillary's, what happened, when we see what really happened, when people across the political spectrum grow to see the extent of the corruption, the venality, the criminality, a lot of people, as Jerry says, are going to be voted out of office first step in November, and afterwards they're going to be investigated, they're going to be indicted, they're going to be prosecuted, they're going to be convicted, and they will be incarcerated, and it could be some very high-level people.
But, you know, I'm still going back to some of the essentials here. The former head of the FBI, who initially gave Clinton and her cohorts a free pass, again is discovered as having lied about thoroughly investigating these emails. And he's still walking around. Is there nothing that people can do to say, well, wait a minute, you were the head of the FBI. Your job was to investigate this and to initiate some kind of action based on your investigation. More than 600,000 emails you managed to look, you and your staff looked cursorily perhaps at 3,000 of them, but you lied when you said that you thoroughly examined these emails. That's a major perjury right there. How is it that this man continues to walk around in the streets free, you know, as a bird, and apparently not afraid or not expecting to have a hammer fall on
him? Well, I think there are a lot of dirty people in the highest echelons of the IRS, Department of Justice, and even the security services. And they understand that when the dam breaks, it's not just Comey who's going to be in trouble. I mean, to me, Comey's transgressions, including the fact that he evidently, while he was investigating or heading his agency was heading up an investigation into personal use of emails, he himself was using personal emails. He himself was leaking. And how he got this book contract, you know, is that, to me, that seems nothing more than a disguised and not very well disguised bribe. How he got all these plush positions, Peter Schweitzer's Government Accountability Institute has a book just out about how Mueller and Comey and others have been, you know, monetizing their public service, not to the tune of, you know, a few hundred thousand here and there, but at the tune of tens of millions of dollars. I mean, this is something that I think does strike a chord across the political spectrum. It's not just conservatives who are upset about this corruption. It's not just progressives. It's not just Republicans. It's not just Democrats. It's all Americans who work, go out every day into the competitive landscape, whatever they may do, and they get suited up to work. They compete fiercely and hopefully lawfully. Some they win, some they lose. And at the end of the day, they're very happy if they make $200,000. That's a lot of money for people to make. Here you see these people who are protected, who don't appear to do all that much work, who swan around the country with bodyguards and in private planes and fancy situations. And then they get plucked out of government service and they start making billions and millions or more than that, as in the Clintons who've made over $100 million. That just, you know, just simply put, that just ain't right. It's not correct. and it hasn't worked for us. We're not safer. We're not stronger. There's a cancer on the American people of these corrupt cronies. And, you know, I think Jerry's absolutely right. People are misreading because most of the people talking in the mainstream are corrupt cronies themselves, corrupt globalists. They're misreading the mood of the populace. We want, I think, whether you're right-leaning or left-leaning, you want a government that approaches being honest, a government that certainly doesn't waste hundreds of billions, even trillions of dollars, a government that keeps us safe, helps educate the young and those who want to study, keeps the sick in good health to the extent possible. That's what we want. We don't need these corrupt crony globalists monetizing their work and you know, driving this country into the dirt. So I think it's been a big struggle. I really appreciate you, Therese, the fact that you've let me come on your show so many times and talk about it. And I know, because I talk to many people, this isn't a Republican versus Democrat thing. This is Americans against corruption. We're sick and tired of this.
I would be interested in you, Charles, asking a question of Dr. Corsi, based on the level of involvement that you both are at in looking at this thing of why there seems to be little or no movement in the prosecution or the continued investigation of the Clintons.
Well, I think Dr. Corsi has known Donald Trump personally for quite a long while. And those of us who've been around New York City, as I have for a long time, also know of him. His history, I think, Jerry, you're fond of saying this, just when Donald Trump looks like he's going to lose is precisely when he starts winning again. And how would you evaluate, Dr. Corsi, where Trump is in this, you know, this main event battle with Mueller? Is he on his back feet? Is he patiently building his case? How do you handicap the next several weeks?
Well, I think at the moment, the ramping up of the attacks on Jeff Sessions by Donald Trump are clearly calling on Jeff Sessions to say, you know, look, you're a Southern gentleman. Before you completely destroy your reputation and your honor, why don't you have the dignity just to resign? I don't want you anymore. I mean, that's abundantly clear. Now, if Jeff Sessions decides he's going to stick it out and stay, soon after the midterms, which I expect the GOP will win handily, Sessions will be replaced, and he'll be gone. And Donald Trump's going to take a new mood and say, you can't impeach me, you're not going to impeach me, and I'm tired of this unequal justice. Firing Rosenstein wouldn't be hard after firing Sessions. And the Mueller could be put under investigation himself. I'm confident that Mueller, when he was head of the FBI and Comey, when he was on the board of HSBC, and certainly Putin suggested this, we're working with Browder to bring $1.6 billion out of Russia and not pay any tax in Russia. And the money was laundered out of Russia through the Ziff brothers, who were working with HSBC. Browder even gave HSBC stock. I was the one who blew the whistle on HSBC, and John Cruz, one of the branch relationship managers, had 1,000 pages of money being, you know, accounts that showed money being laundered through them. And you mean to say that Comey, and as on the board, and Mueller couldn't find out that this bank was laundering hundreds of billions of dollars for terrorists and Middle East and drug dealers in Mexico, and that Loretta Lynch covered it all up by a $1.9 billion fine, but no criminal charges were brought against anyone? That's obstruction of justice, and I'd like to see Mueller investigated for that. The longer he stays, the greater the chances are Mueller himself will be put under criminal investigation.
Well, that's good news. But
isn't there an irony here? And that is that Trump himself seems to be saddled with some rather unsavory elements and unsavory things that are, you know, frankly, quite disturbing.
Well, you mean it's unsavory that he had prostitutes? That bothers you? I'm sorry, you're offended.
No, that doesn't bother me.
Okay, well, then what does bother you?
A long tradition in the White House.
What is
but
that?
I'm talking about, real estate deals with the Russians, financing for...
Okay, now, wait a minute. Real estate deals with, right? You're off the reservation here. First of all, Trump didn't have a lot of real estate deals with Russians. Trump wanted there to be a Trump Tower in Russia. He got nowhere with it. He wanted Putin to attend his Miss America contest held in Russia. Putin didn't do it. They won't talk about the deals with Russia. Let's talk about Hillary and Podesta using Reset to sell the advanced U.S. military technology to Russia, including this hypersonic technology that Russia is using to develop missiles. Talk about the money that was paid to Podesta, including $35 million by Russian oligarchs. It's fully documented on the public record. I've published it. Peter Schweitzer's published it. It's been in public hearings. Let's talk about those dealings with Russia, which are on the record, rather than these made-up dealings with Russia, which, quite frankly, Donald Trump tried and did not succeed to accomplish.
So the reports that we have had so far about the Russians or Russian money saving Donald Trump from economic ruin, financial ruin, they're not correct?
Donald Trump may have borrowed money from Russian sources. He borrowed money from many different sources. But that doesn't mean that Donald Trump was paid that money. He borrowed the money. Additionally, why don't we have any at the Clintons through the foundation, Uranium One, go there too? I think that was about $147 million to the Clinton Foundation as a result of that deal. And Mueller held from the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States the knowledge that the Russians had been engaged in a bribery scheme for many years. And that was not told to the committee when it voted to allow Russia to buy 100% of Uranium One. That's, again, a cover-up. That's, again, an obstruction of justice. Victoria Townsend's client, William Campbell, has any number of times testified even to Congress about that Russian bribery scheme. And as far as I can tell, when Mueller was in office as head of the FBI, by the way, Peter Schweitzer says Mueller's worth about $40 million. And most of that wealth came from Lockheed Martin stock that was shared with Comey when Comey was on the board of Lockheed Martin. And the wealth gained by these deep state operatives in their little vacations from the Justice Department have enriched them beyond what the American public is aware of. So, you want to go to these issues of corruption. The Russians did not interfere in the... And by the way, I've got a great idea. Since you're so worried about the Russians interfering in U.S. politics, why don't we eliminate the voting machines from the midterms because they're easily susceptible to cyber attack? That way we'll prevent the Russians from influencing the voting machines in the elections. And by the way, why don't we also have some voter ID cards so the Russians don't get illegal immigrants to come in and vote? And the ID cards can't be with California license, driver's licenses, because they're already compromised. Maybe we should have some Department of Homeland Security and ICE officials monitoring the polling places to make sure the Russians don't sneak in any people who are illegal immigrants or otherwise unqualified to vote in order to stack the decks. Let's make sure these elections are free from Russian interference.
Well, actually, I take a very different position on elections, period, because I think way too much about elections is crooked. And it is the reason that some 20 years ago or so, I stopped voting.
Well, that's not a solution.
Absolutely.
That's not a solution. That's a runaway.
But it's my solution.
Well,
and
go ahead. You can run away if you want to.
I refuse to allow a system to have me angry all the time. and to keep my mind occupied with ways in which people are eroding this concept of democracy that they talk about, because people still don't believe. They still don't believe that there are two Americas.
Well, you're free to protest any way you want.
One white, separate, and an equal.
You're free to protest any way you want. I just see it as particularly ineffective. But you go ahead.
I feel better. I feel good about it.
I'm glad you feel
better. I don't have to go through a period of grief and anger every time an election concludes.
Well, I'm happy you feel better.
Let me say that that was going to be a permanent thing. I will consider every time I look and consider voting, and it's just that I haven't seen anything yet that convinces me that a particular election is worth voting in. But that's just my view.
Well, let's fix the elections. Let's make sure there's no voting fraud, and maybe you'll be inclined to come back and vote again.
I would be if I could feel, if I can feel that that, in fact, is true, that there's no election fraud.
Let's make sure the Russians don't interfere. Let's get rid of the voting machines. They can be attacked by cyber attack very easily and fixed.
But I'm not afraid of the Russians interfering. I'm afraid of the Americans
afraid of the Russians. You're afraid of the Russians with
America.
You're afraid of the Russians with Trump, but you're afraid of the Russians with Trump, but you're not afraid of the Russians with elections.
I'm not afraid of Russians at all. I'm afraid of the Americans interfering in American elections.
Right. Well, then what difference does it make that Donald Trump may have borrowed money from Russia? He borrowed money from a lot of places.
Because he denies it.
No, it's not been denied. It's on the
He has denied it. He says, I have had no money from Russia. I have never done business with Russia. I've never gone money. His son, Junior,
It's not a crime to deal with Russia. It is not a crime to do business with Russia. Now, I'm sorry if the hard left is disappointed that Russia is no longer communist. But for many, many years when I was growing up, you guys loved Russia and begged everybody to deal with Russia.
Don't love me, Dr. Corsi. Don't categorize me because I'm beyond
that. I don't know you at all, but I do see you taking an ambivalent position and kind of internally inconsistent with regards to Russia and whether or not it's good to deal with the Russians. As far as I'm concerned, the Russians can be dealt with legitimately and should be able to be dealt with legitimately. And we shouldn't be having this Russia phobia. That's not on Hillary's list.
I do not have a Russia phobia.
Well, Hillary certainly.
I went to Russia during the Glasnost era.
Well, good. I'm glad you went to Russia. I'm glad you don't vote. What else don't you do?
No, the thing is that we're looking for some degree of sanity, and there appears to be not much sanity that is informing either domestic or foreign policy.
That's a very broad statement. I don't have a clue what you mean. That's such a broad statement. I don't have a clue what you mean by it. Where's the lack of sanity in any specific foreign policy issue? Give me an example.
The sanity would be, for example, and we started talking about Hillary Clinton. You have a person who was former Secretary of State, whose husband was President of the United States, who herself had aspired to be President of the United States, basically operating in a cocoon of wrongdoing, and still is able to present herself as pure as a driven snow and seems immune from prosecution. I just would like to know why.
I would too. We agree on that.
Great. So that's my thing. I want to know why is it? Because, you know, the concern that I have, and this is something that people would say is really not important, but it's important to me. The bulk of the wrongdoing that the Clintons have done, in my view, they've done them in the black world and to the black world. Now, people would say, well, you're being racist. I said, well, you know, examine the facts. most of the misdirected programs of the Clinton Foundation have been directed at the black world with devastating, almost genocidal consequences. Now, that happens to matter to me. And so I'm interested in not only the straight across the board prosecution, but where does that leave possibly tens of thousands of Africans and people in the black world who took these bogus drugs, these watered down drugs, supposedly that would help them live with AIDS, and were just useless? Where does that leave them? Where does it leave people who, you know, Bill Clinton initiated the world's largest prison industrial complex?
I wrote a whole chapter about that in Partners in Crime on the Clinton Foundation. And Charles has done a great deal of research on it as well. We're all upset about that.
Sure. So that is what I'm saying. This is my concern when I talk about what is happening with the expectation is that somebody does a number of serious wrongs. How is the law dealing with it? And why is the law giving exception, clearly giving them exception? I think it deserves an answer.
Do I agree?
Wholeheartedly agree.
Well, let's figure out what you expect, Charles and Dr. Corsi. What do you expect will happen from this point on?
Go ahead, Charles.
Sure. November 15th, 2018 is a very important day. In the past, when Jerry and I explained to people by Jerry's writing in his book that calendar year foundations, this foundations whose fiscal year ends on December 31st, they have to file their tax returns by November 15th the following year, which means the 2017 return is due November 15th, 2018. For the first time in the history of the Clinton Foundation, there will now be an IRS chief who is not appointed by Barack Obama or anybody having to do with the Clinton-Bush era. So we have a new IRS chief. We have maturing investigations in various locations, field offices, and various U.S. attorneys. And it's a very serious crime on the books, as we see from multiple prosecutions, Corinne Brown and other people, for minor amounts, less than $1 million, people are going to jail for 5 years. For the first time, the apparatus of prosecution investigation is, let's say, closer to being neutral. And for the first, and now because of the work that you and Jerry and others have been doing, the American public, international public, many governments know about this. There isn't an option to sweep this under the rug, I don't think. And so whether information will surface before or after November 6th, the election, is an open question. But I think a lot of people have been doing a lot of hard work. It's not tough to see this criminal fraud for what it is. It's not tough to see the corruption and the obstruction. So let's see the Justice Department. Let's see foreign governments. Let's see some state governments. Let's see the IRS do its work. And once you pull on the string and announce indictments or plea deals or whatever, the whole thing unravels.
Dr. Corsi?
Well, I also think the midterm elections are going to be a big threshold. That if the Democrats fail to gain control of the House, they're going to be set back in a massive way, and their agenda derailed, which is to essentially impeach Donald Trump. And that agenda has left the Democrats without a positive agenda to go forth to the American voters. Hate Trump is not a platform. And I see the Democrats in pretty much turmoil with the growing ascendancy, the socialist or communist arm coming out into the open and public. And I don't think the American people are ready for that either. So for me, the November elections are going to be a major turning point, and I think Donald Trump will campaign for a whole series of Republican candidates, including some like Ted Cruz, who weren't his best friend, and that Trump will be a successful campaigner once again, with the Democrats increasingly in disarray, and this attempt to censor conservatives now exposed out in the open, so it can no longer be denied. There'll be a lot of repercussions following the election, and I don't think Mueller will last much beyond the election.
And with respect to these investigations, are they going to continue to go nowhere, or would something dramatic have to happen for a revived investigation into the Clintons?
Well, I think there's plenty of grounds for a revived investigation and lots of issues on which the statute of limitations has not run out. And with the removal of the top echelon of the Department of Justice and the FBI, and the insertion of some honest officials who are not aiming at unequal justice, possibly even the appointment of another special counselor or another special prosecutor, more appropriately, I think you'll see a lot of this deep state cleaned out. And I think a lot of people who are right now very comfortable they're not going to be prosecuted with Rod Rosenstein running the Justice Department are going to be sadly disappointed to find that the tables are turned. And when the tables are turned, the Democrats who have politicized and weaponized the Department of Justice are going to be exposed all the way up to Hillary Clinton and to Donald Trump. Those are my predictions.
Well, thank you, Dr. Corsi, for being with us today and being so informative. And, of course, my dear friend, Charles Ortel, thanks for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you both.
And
that brings us to the end of the program. And we'll see each other tomorrow. And think about it.